Hi, everybody. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reiser. Today, I'm joined, as always, by Hashi Bai.
Hi.
Hello, Hashi. And today, our special guest is Ilio DiMaggio. Ilio, would you like to tell the people about yourself?
Hi. I am a program manager in the hyperscale computing team. And today I'm going to talk about event hubs.
Okay. Now, you've been on the show before, but you talked about something different before, right?
Yes. I was on Azure Mobile team, and I usually talked about notification hubs here.
Okay, great. So we're excited to hear about the event hub stuff. Before we get into our main presentation today, we are going to go over some news. We had some big announcements at a press event this past Monday with some really cool stuff, so we'll quickly go over that. The first thing that we announced were G-series VM sizes. You know, I'm not really, you know, too deep into the VMs, but these are monster VMs. I mean, you're talking about nearly a half a terabyte of memory. That is just an insane amount of memory when you really think about it. But huge amount of memory, huge amount of local storage via SSDs, 32 cores. You know, these are monster VMs is really the best way to put it. So these are new VM sizes that are available in Azure. Another announcement was premium storage. So faster, more efficient, I guess, SSD storage that you can connect to your VMs, up to 50,000 IOPS per VM with 1 millisecond latency for read, you know, super fast, amazing storage. Another announcement was the Azure Marketplace, and this is kind of be a place for you to access different applications and services that you can use or deploy inside of Azure. A few of the ones that were announced or highlighted at the event were CoreOS. If you're not familiar with CoreOS, it's a very modern and minimal Linux distribution or distro, which it really works really well with Docker, which is really popular these days for containerizing your applications. So if you're doing stuff on Linux and CoreOS, take a look at that support. Another thing announced was Cloud Era, which offers enterprise analytics and data management, and they've got an offering inside this Azure Marketplace as well. And then another really big announcement was the cloud platform system. And essentially, this is almost like a cloud in a box that you can deploy in your data center. And it's basically like you have a mini Azure in your own data center. So, you know, makes it even unimaginably more easy just to go from your own data center into the public cloud Azure if needed. Or if you can't go into a public cloud, you're basically running your own private cloud just by deploying this cloud platform system. And then we previously announced last week some more stuff to do with Docker. More and more, you know, we're working on that. Now we actually have announced that we're going to start working on Docker working with Windows Server. So that's coming down the pipeline one day, hopefully soon. Mm-hmm. But more support for Docker is coming inside of Azure. So some really cool announcements, some really powerful stuff coming out for Azure. And obviously, you know, we just keep coming out with stuff. So this is just last week. We're going to have more all the time. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and switch over and get ready for our main presentation.
And now, our feature presentation.
And we're back. All right, Ilio, let's see what you got.
Okay, so basically, by the time you're going to see this show, we're going to just have GA'd event hubs.
Fantastic.
Event hubs is a new feature of Service Bus that allows you to ingest events into the cloud at a very, very high scale. So right now, there's a lot of talk about Internet of Things, and that's basically going to be like a next wave of big data. So mm-hmm. The first thing that you have to do when you have big data is actually to take the data inside your cloud. And doing that is not particularly easy. That's because sometimes you have like millions of events and of things that are happening in the world that you want to take into your storage system or analytics pipeline, or even like things that are happening inside your app. Think about like logs or events that are happening in your app from mobile phones or from servers, and you want to aggregate them and analyze them and do things with them. The fact of taking these events and putting them in your storage system, it's hard. That's usually because there's a high throughput. There are really, really peaks in your traffic. Really, really high peaks. We have, as an internal customer, Halo 4 that uses our platform for in-game events. Their traffic is really, really spiky. They go from sending like 15 billion messages an hour to basically one. That usually depends on time of the day and weekend too.
So we've had a show about something else that Halo 4 is using, Project Orlean. So they're using even more than that inside Azure. They're also using Event Hubs.
That is correct. And the interplay of Orleans and Event Hubs was actually really, really nice. So they were able, they actually using Orleans as their computing fabric, and then they're taking the events that actually feed those actors come from Event Hubs.
Super cool.
So let's look here at the Azure portal. What you can do, you can basically create a new in-app services, and in Service Bus you can create an Event Hub. Now here is preview. By the time you watch the show, is going to be GA, and you can create a new one. I have already created one. It's here under Service Bus and Cloud Cover and Event Hubs. What you do, you have the standard interface with a dashboard. You can see what's going on. I tested this earlier today. And you can, of course, do configuration, security configurations, and there's going to be even more options when we actually went GA. So you're going to see more options here.
Okay.
Let's look at some code, because that's actually what everybody is interested in.
Absolutely.
What I have here is that I have a very, very simple sender. If you download the Service Bus NuGet, so it is just a simple console app. You download the Service Bus NuGet, and what you get is that you get an SDK that can send messages.
So now, it's Event Hub client specifically.
Exactly, Event Hub client. So what you get is that you after you set up your connection, you get your connection string from the portal, and you can instantiate one Event Hub client, and then you can send data to your Event Hub. Now let's just go ahead and just start this. I'm gonna take this console app, start it, and here I'm just basically sending random messages one per second.
And these messages, like essentially the payload could be anything?
The payload can be anything. So we're just a very, very simple messaging system. You can take like bytes, you can put them there. Also for interoperability, we do not want to have any .NET specific thing, although of course you can use .NET serialization and all that stuff.
Could you send like JSON?
You can of course send JSON. You can also send binary stuff like a Google protobuffer or Avro for people familiar with the Hadoop stack. So you can really send anything you
want.
And the protocol between the client and the server is our preparatory protocol, or?
No, it's not actually. We're using AMQP, which is a standard protocol from Oasis that is interfacing between this sender and the Event Hub.
And then are there a lot of AMQP libraries out there available for people to use?
Yes, exactly. There are AMQP libraries and bindings for any language you want to use, from Ruby, PHP, Perl, and of course Java, JMS, or directly C, C++, anything.
What Hashi really wants to know is, can he hook this up in his COBOL programs?
Definitely.
I'm sure there might be like some way to bind C from COBOL. I'm sure. Yeah, I'm not a COBOL expert, but I think a couple of research on things, we might be able to fix it. So now I'm sending these messages. There's nobody receiving, but the messages are not lost. This is the good thing. We give up to 30 days retention on Event Hub. So if your machines go down, you do not have to do things. You can basically start your receiver and still get all the messages that have not been processed for whatever reason. So because you had a spike, or because your machines were down, or anything like that. So now let's go ahead and look at the receiver. Let me remove this so we actually see a little bit of code. The receiver is a little bit more complicated. You see here that I still have my Event Hub connection string, I have my Event Hub name, but I'm using a storage account. This is because our the receive portion has basically to coordinate a very high-scale multiprocessor receive infrastructure. This is called the event processor host.
Okay.
So what you do is that you instantiate this event processor host with your event hub information and your storage information, and then you register an event processor. In here, I have a simple one. You basically have to implement these three interfaces. One is process event. By the way, people familiar with real-time frameworks like Storm, for instance, this is very reminiscent of that kind of protocol, similar to a Storm Bolt for people that are familiar with Storm.
Okay.
So there is a process event. In here, this is where actually you get the data. So you get the data in here. We're getting the data inside the messages. So we get, you see a context and a messages parameter. And inside messages, I have a batch of messages that I'm receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And then in here, I'm just outputting the data on the console. You see that here I have bytes. This could be anything. Could be JSON, could be protobuffer, it could be anything that you want.
Now, when you call this, is there some limiting factor of how many messages you'll get? Like, so for example, let's say we don't have the receiver running and we've been feeding thousands upon thousands of events in, are we just going to get, every event that hasn't been processed yet, or is it going to page it somehow?
Exactly. So basically, in here, there's a prefetch option that it can configure on the event processor host that tells you exactly what kind of batch you want.
Okay.
That's usually basically a balance between performance to have bigger batches and latency. If you are waiting to have 1,000 batches before 1,000 messages before calling this event, some of the messages might have to wait some time before they get processed. So it's that balance, but it's really all this interface is really studied for people to achieve really, really high throughput. And we're talking here millions of messages per second.
Great.
And I guess the process host is where you hook up with downstream processing. When you say the example of working with audience, that's where it's got hooked up?
That is correct. Also because this event processor host does a lot of magic. Let's look at this. So I'm going to start a receiver. By the way, this class is really the only code that I wrote here. Is this three
the
methods.
The actual how to process the messages.
Yeah, how to process the message and the registration here, so the setup and register.
Right.
So in here, I'm going to have my receiver. Let's put my sender here on the side. This guy, now what it's doing is basically trying to listen on all the partitions of this event hub. It would be basically a god listener, and it's starting to get basic, and it got all the messages that were there already, that they were in red, and now of course is reading the new ones that are being sent.
Right.
Also, notice here, message received. I'm actually outputting the partition number. Basically, this sender here, you will see that basically it sends round robin on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 16 partition.
Mm-hmm.
The partition tells you how many concurrent receivers you can have. Let's spin up another one. I have another receiver. Maybe I have a whole bunch of, I have a peak, right? And I want to absorb that peak. I'm creating another receiver here. So now I have receiver one, I have my sender, and this is receiver two. Forgive the slowness here. This is everything is running on my machine. So
you can have multiple receivers listening to the same partition.
Not to the same partition, to different partition. To coordinate that, that's how we're using the storage account, and that's what the event processor host is doing for us. You see here that now the receiver 2 has got a hold of partition 0 and 1.
Okay.
So now basically here, the first one shut down partition one. So now basically they're coordinating what they're receiving. So with 16 partition, I could have up to 16 parallel receivers to absorb that traffic. Those could be worker roles, VMs, things that you're spinning up. And the code that I wrote was just the one that I showed you.
So the Event Hub SDK, or the Event Hub client / Event Hub itself, automatically works through the storage system to basically sync which receivers are handling what.
That is
correct. So you just start the receivers, the Event Hub infrastructure is going to deal with making sure that they are configured correctly.
That is correct. That is correct.
Well, very cool.
What it also does is that I told you that that Event Hubs is durable, right? So you can store events up to 30 days in it, and everything is going to be there for you to consume, and you can basically replay. So you can replay in the history whatever happened yesterday from 9 to 10. This is because when you receive a message, what you're actually saying, you're basically saying, I want to receive starting from this specific message ID, and then you go up from them. You see here offset sometimes.
Okay.
Now what's happening, the storage part is also storing the last offset that you read. That every partition was that every receiver read, so that basically you do not have to do that, and you're basically going to start reading from exactly the point where you left if your machine went down or things like that.
Now I noticed that slowly we started to see more partitions being read by the second receiver. Does it basically slowly balance it out so you'd have half the receivers being from
that is
one
correct.
And then okay, great.
That is correct. So if we spin another one, there are going to be 16 partition six, five, and five.
Okay, great, very cool.
So
for a particular message, there's only one client can receive that message.
Actually, you can use an advanced feature called consumer groups, where actually you can have like multiple receivers reading the same message. So yes, that is something that you can do.
Okay, but is there a mechanism to guarantee if a message is processed or not? Let's say if a receiver got a message then crashed, what happens next?
Oh, the thing is that most likely if the whole receiver crashed, the thing is that the receiver is on the hook to actually checkpoint its work. Okay. So right now, the event processor host is doing it by basically writing in the storage the checkpoints. Let's look at the simple event processor here. Let me remove this so that we can actually see the code. You see that here in the event processor, after the print, I have this. I have this little piece of code that checkpoints every 5 minutes. I can have whatever logic I want in here to say, I want a checkpoint. This is everything that I did. Mm-hmm. You could do every message, but that would not be particularly performant. Yeah. So usually you want to really do batches of messages.
So in this case, every 5 minutes, it's going to go back to Event Hub and say, hey, I processed all these messages. You know, don't worry about them. Don't try to process them again.
Yes, actually what it's doing is writing the last checkpoint on the storage.
The storage, right.
So that, but yes, this is exactly what is happening.
Great.
So this mechanism really allows you to do really super high scale receives in parallel. Let's take a look at the portal again. In the configure, you see here the two things that we looked at. You can configure the message retention up to 30 days, which means that you can have your machine down for a whole day and then still be able to take that data out. What you can also do is that you have, what was the other thing? Here we have like security information. You can of course give different security mechanisms to the Event Hub.
Now, is the underlying storage that Event Hub's using for the system, is it tied to a storage account, or is that internalized inside of Event Hub?
It's actually just a plain storage account.
Okay.
You can use also other things if you want to keep track of the checkpoints. But
right.
Basically, for instance, we released Storm Spout for people using Storm in HD Insight or not in HD Insight, so in their own deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And that Storm Spout actually uses the Apache Zookeeper instance of Storm to do the same thing. So you do not need an Azure storage account in that case.
Okay.
Because the only thing that you're doing effectively is making sure that you checkpoint all the messages that you're processing.
Okay.
Actually, I just want to clarify. In this case, the storage account is used to coordinate, meaning you will save some metadata and checkpoints into it.
That is
not
correct.
The messages themselves.
That is correct.
Okay.
The messages are not in storage. They're actually inside the Event Hub. This is why the Event Hub guarantees the retention and all those things.
Nice.
that is correct. So we talked about reach, we talked about Storm. You can, of course, read these messages, which, of course, is, again, AMQP, so you can read it from anywhere. Mm-hmm. But, of course, most likely this back-end processing are usually done with some specific frameworks. We do provide the event processor host for .NET code, if you want to host it in worker roles, if you want to host it wherever you want. We also have a Storm Spout that is available in HD Insight. Actually, you can go in the HD Insight documentation. There's a nice tutorial called Analyzing Sensor Data with Storm and HBase. And this is actually using event hubs to ingest the data from the sensors into HBase through Storm. And this is like a great tutorial. We're going to have a specific get started for Event Hubs and Storm. But this is like a whole complete tutorial that uses SignalR, uses HBase, uses Storm for an actual tutorial. It's not just a get started. Really cool to check out.
Very cool. And we'll include a link to that underneath the video.
Yeah. Last thing that I wanted to show is the homepage of the Apache Cupid project. This is the project that maintains a whole bunch of clients for AMQP.
Okay.
Java, Ruby, Perl, PHP, C, C++, .NET. Of course, we have our own implementation for .NET in Service Bus. And I wanted to show that. Here I have a little Java program that does that sends messages.
And this is just using this open source Apache Cupid?
That is correct. AMQP? Yes, this is standard JMS. That's Java messaging server or system. I don't particularly remember. But that is basically the messaging interface for Java programs.
Mm-hmm.
In here, what we do is that we set up the service bus properties. In here, there's an AMQP connection string with the SAS rule that we created for the event hubs. Mm-hmm. The same thing, create the SAS rule, copy from the portal, paste it here, that kind of thing. And we're sending to the Cloud Cover event hub. The sender just creates a connection factory, creates an event hub, which looks like a queue to JMS, and then creates a sender. And we send one message every minute. So let's start this program. Now this guy is sending messages, and we should see here on the receiver, we see some messages that are called
AMQP?
Yes, from JMS.
Right. So now we've got our .NET client sending messages up, we've got a Java client sending messages up, and we've got two receivers.
We have two receivers. We could also have some of the partitions being taken by Storm if you want.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. This is really great. So where can we send people if they have more questions, want to learn more?
I think there is definitely, we're in the Service Bus page. So in here, from the Azure portal documentation, Service Bus, there's going to be like many documents and many sections on Event Hubs. Also, you can reach out to me at Elio DiMaggio. That's my Twitter account.
Give us one of these, and here we go. Put it right in there.
Here it is. And that's basically it.
Cool. So one other question I have is, so basically, Internet of Things is very popular right now, and Event Hub is a very good solution for that. But as you mentioned with using it for Halo, you can really use Event Hub for ingestion of events from anything you want. Anything that you might have a ton of events coming through and you want to be able to process those, Event Hub's a great solution for
that. We have actually many customers that are using Event Hubs for log processing and event processing from inside the data center.
Mm-hmm.
You have many, many VMs. They're all emitting lots of logs and events of things that are happening in your infrastructure. Usually, you do not want to create another real-time reliable infrastructure on top of what you're already doing just for your logs. So usually, this is something that is very common, putting stuff inside Event Hubs, then dump it in Elasticsearch or Azure Search. I mean, things where basically you have a way to search these logs and see what's happening. Same things, just putting things inside an HBase or Azure Storage. If you have your own Hadoop cluster, then you can use tools like Power BI and things on top of that to get insights on.
Cool.
And also for the really large applications, can I control how many partitions I can have?
Oh, this is true. You can actually go from two partition to 32. So you can have up to 32 parallel receivers of this Event Hub, and we have easily millions per second kind of throughput. It's something that is really, really achievable with not a lot of work.
Is there a way to specify what partition your message is sent to, or is that kind of against the idea of how event hubs are supposed to work?
That is a great question, because when you have real-time processing, sometimes you want to process it things like averages, you want to process things that are actually an aggregation of multiple messages together. In this way, you do not want to put everything inside a bucket and then having to divide them downstream, maybe with a storm bolt or something like that. So what you can do when you send a message, you can specify a partition key. A partition key is guaranteed to be pinned to a specific partition. Mm-hmm. And then basically you can make sure that series of events are going to basically sent to the same partition. This is very useful and is used in the sensor data tutorial when you want to compute things like moving averages or sums or things like that for a specific sensor. Mm-hmm. You might use your sensor ID as a partition ID, and then all the messages of that specific sensor are gonna be delivered to the same receiver. So you can basically keep track of running metrics on a specific stream.
Okay. Then will the event hub be able to balance the listeners based on the load of the partition or just the partition number?
Oh, okay. So the thing is that the event processor host just distributes the partition based on how many receivers you create. Mm-hmm. So that really depends on you. We do not yet have the interactions that basically gets the load out of Event Hub to automatically spin up new listeners. Mm-hmm. That is something probably that people should create on their own right now, but we're definitely looking into that. Great. The idea would be doing something like, hey, I have a certain throughput, a certain incoming throughput, mm-hmm. that it means that I need to spin up another receiver, or I need to maybe shut down, so I save money.
Right. Yeah. Great, cool. Well, thanks for coming on and showing us Event Hub. It's fun to see this stuff working.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody out there, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we will see you next time.